Peace be unto you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin our services today by joining our hearts together in opening thanksgiving and prayer. And dear Heavenly Father, as we gather here this morning before your holy and righteous word, we have this prayer in our heart that you would give us that food that we need for our life and walk of faith. We want to begin by thanking you for all the gifts that you have given us. Many gifts that we may not even be aware of. You have promised to care for us. And we, even in our weak faith, want to trust in your promises. But we thank you most of all for this precious gift of living faith, where you have sent your Son to die for the sins of all mankind. But you have prepared our hearts to accept this message of salvation and given us this faith to believe that personally our sins are forgiven in the name of your Son and in his blood that he shed for us. And we ask that you would keep us as humble children in your kingdom, aware of our failings and lackings, that we certainly cannot stand in our own works, that we are in need of your love and mercy through your Son. And we also pray this morning that you would comfort those who even mourn, as your word even promises to do, that you will be there to help in time of need. And give us even this comfort that when one has died in faith, that it is a great victory. And even from this understanding of faith, we are comforted. So we ask again that you would comfort those that mourn, and that you would, through your love, bring your angels of mercy to comfort those that are in need. And we also pray that you would give us this boldness to confess our faith to those that we meet in our life when there is opportunity. And we also ask that you would yet call those prodigal sons and daughters back into your house. And we enclose our prayer this morning in the prayer that your Son has taught. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Before I read our text for this morning, I see many faces here this morning. It is good to see. But I would yet again bring greetings from my home congregation of Spokane. And also again from my wife, who desired to be here, but because of circumstances was not able. But she wanted her greetings to be given to you, brothers and sisters. And it is good that we remember when there's our local congregation members traveling to other congregations, that we remember to tell them to bring greetings of God's peace. It is nice when I am coming and they tell me, bring greetings. So remember when your speaker brothers are going to travel, and you remember, tell them to bring greetings of God's peace. I thought for our text this morning I would read a portion of God's Word that even you Sunday school kids probably remember from Sunday school. This talks about a miracle that God performed for His children. And this took place many, many years ago, long before even our Lord Jesus was born. And this took place when the children of Israel had left Egypt with Moses leading them on that journey. And so I will read from the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 19 through the end of the chapter. And I read these words in Jesus' name. And the angel of the God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one could not come near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Amen. This event in our Bible speaks of the initial part or beginning part of this long journey that the children of Israel had begun. We could maybe think about why they had begun this journey to begin with. We don't need to go into too much depth about the history of why they were in Egypt, but this was all part of even what had been prophesied before of what would happen. But we can say that the children of Israel, God's chosen people, were in the end of their stay in Egypt, and for many years prior, were living in bondage or slavery. And it was not an easy life. It was so difficult that they cried to God. Their cries of anguish and suffering were heard by God. So God chose Moses to lead them from bondage to a land of promise. God did not say that this journey would be easy, but he did promise to be with them every step of the way. So when God had shown through those plagues that he had plagued the Egyptians with, he showed his power to both Pharaoh, but he also showed his power to his children. So finally, the time to come had come, and they left. And it's interesting when we read that there were many different ways they could go to this land of Canaan. And the way they went was not the shortest way. It says that The shorter way would have been to go through the land of the Philistines. And God did not want them to begin their journey in warfare so that they would become fearful and want to turn back and go back to Egypt. So they journeyed in a different way. And God wanted to show the children His power again, and show also again Pharaoh His glory. So the children traveled and they came to the Red Sea here. And God had hardened Pharaoh's heart again. And the armies of Pharaoh began to chase the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel came to the sea, they were to camp there. And then they saw the armies of Pharaoh coming. And they were fearful. And they began to doubt and question, why have you brought us out here? We could even read here, it says that, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may be serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So already now they had already seen God's power. But now they saw the power of Pharaoh's armies and they begin to fear. And I'm sure that we can, in our own experiences and in our walk of faith, there have come those moments when we have feared. And Moses said to the people, he said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. And he said, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And it's interesting, this command that Moses gave to the people, to stand still. This was not what God wanted. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore thou criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. That He would do this work, but don't stand and watch it. Walk in faith. Walk forward in faith. And I will be there with you, and I will protect you. And so God told Moses to lift up his arm, and he had that rod in his hand that God had given this power to this rod. And Moses used that to do miracles before Pharaoh. We remember how that rod, when he cast that rod before Pharaoh, it had turned into a serpent, a snake. And so Pharaoh then got his own magicians to bring out their rods. And they turned their rods into snakes. But the rod of Moses ate those snakes of the magicians. Shows us the power of God. We have already heard even how in the Old Testament is a picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We heard yesterday about those friends of Daniel, those three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to bow down to those false gods and were cast into the furnace. How when Nebuchadnezzar looked into that furnace, he saw that there was four men in there. He had only cast three, but now there was four. And that fourth man looked as if the Son of God. So even there in that fiery trial that those brothers were in, Jesus was there with them. And so even in this journey of the children of Israel, we can see a picture of our life of faith. If we pick up the Bible and read of that journey, we can see those experiences in our own life and in our walk of faith. So this strong right arm that Moses lifted up and he divided those waters, this was a miracle of God. There have been some who have tried to understand this in a physical way, how this could happen in a natural way. There is no known way that the wind could blow and make a wall of water with a path right through the middle. And it says here there was a wall of water on their right hand and on their left hand. And where did this pathway lead? This dry land, where did that go? It went right through that danger, that obstacle to salvation, to escape from the enemy. This is a picture of our life of faith. Our Lord Jesus has opened the way to heaven. And there is only one way. And Jesus said it is a narrow way, and few there be that find it. And when these children went into that road that went through that sea, it was in night. It says that that cloud that those children followed on that journey, in the day it was a cloud that they could see. And at night, it was a pillar of fire that gave them light. This is the Holy Spirit guiding the children of God. We remember how even on Pentecost, it was a visible flame of fire that descended on the heads of the disciples. But in this case, this pillar of cloud went between the children of Israel, or the children of God, and the enemy. So on the one side, there was light. There was this pillar of fire, so that they could see in the night. And on the other side, it was darkness, and the enemy could not see very well. So what do you think the children of Israel felt? Do you think if you saw this wall of water on right through the middle of the sea with water on the left and the right, with our natural understanding of things, do you think it was so easy just to step out and walk? But they did by faith. They knew this was the only way it was opened up before them. And so they walked. And when we walk on our journey of faith, it is a narrow way. And we have heard about the right side of the path and the left side of the path. That if we go to the right, into that wall of water on the right, we will drown. If we go to the left side, into that wall of water, we will drown. On both sides are the works of the flesh. On the one side, there would be these sins of the flesh that would be our desires and pleasures of this world. On the other side, there would be this understanding of working for salvation. But neither side was the way to heaven. Neither side was the way to get to safety. They didn't do anything here to get to that destination. They believed, and they walked on that pathway that was opened up before them. Brothers and sisters, this is what we have been given. When we can understand by faith the victory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He has opened the way to heaven. He has taken away the veil that would separate man from God. He has paid for the sins of all mankind. And when we believe it, our own sins are forgiven. But we must believe. We must walk in faith. We must walk in the Spirit. We want to walk with a conscience believing in Christ. We don't want to walk according to our fleshly understanding. And we don't want to walk thinking that we can do what we want because Jesus has died for our sins. I think it was the writer to the Hebrews spoke of this matter of, with this understanding of willfully sinning, that there is no more sacrifice for sin. This is a grave warning to us. That we walk according to the Spirit. And Paul says that when we walk according to the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So we want to listen to the voice of the conscience that tells us that don't do these things. If we do these things and we live in these things, we will die. We will walk off the pathway on one side or the other, and we will drown in perdition. We saw what happened when those armies of Pharaohs followed the children onto that pathway that had been prepared for them. It was not prepared for those in unbelief. And they walked into that pathway when we remember what happened. That in the morning when the sun came up and they were in the midst of the sea, that the waters returned and drowned those armies of Pharaoh. This is also a picture of that complete victory that Jesus did for us when he won that battle. The victory over the enemy, which is sin. What do you think? How do you think the children of Israel felt when they reached peace and safety? And they saw this great miracle of God. Do you think there was joy in their heart? They certainly believed, as our text said. They believed God. How is it with us when we have had doubts? We've had fear, and maybe we've had even sin tormenting us. When God has revealed His love and mercy, and God's forgiveness through Christ has been preached, and we have been able to believe and taste of this goodness and mercy, and it feels like these burdens have been taken away from us. The fear is gone. And there is peace of conscience and peace of heart. Has there not been joy in our heart that we at that moment can feel full confidence, as Paul even spoke about the beginning of our confidence? And he said, if we hold to that steadfast till the end, we are partakers with Christ. But these children of Israel, they felt that same joy and security and comfort and peace, so much so that they sang a song. And we could even maybe read part of that song that the children sang. It says in the following chapter, chapter 15, it says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. This is the victory of our Lord Jesus. This is the victory when we are able to believe that sins are forgiven. They are forgiven. They are drowned in the depths of the sea. And I would encourage you, brothers and sisters, to hold fast to that faith and to that victory and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Believe this morning that all your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. All doubts, the victory has been won for you. Believe in Christ. Look to his righteousness. He is our only hope, just as even the children of Israel, their only hope for safety in this moment of the journey was through the power and through the love of God. And God is, his desire for us is to believe on his Son, Jesus Christ. And this morning, we have this table of the Lord prepared that we will, in unity, partake of the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he told us that when we gather and we partake of this bread and this wine, that this is my body, which was given for you. And this is my blood that I shed for you to wash away your sins. So come with a believing heart. When you come with a believing heart, you are an acceptable guest at the table of the Lord. And we remember when we are able to partake that what Jesus Christ did, he did for each one of us personally. This is a personal walk of faith, brothers and sisters. So come believing that gospel message of salvation, that your sins and doubts are all forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And I too also need to hear that same message with my own doubts and fears and even coming this morning. Can you assure me of that gospel? I promise to believe. In Jesus' name, amen.